information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
We care. It shows.
The law.
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
A shift in authority has given military officials at the White House a bigger operational role in creating a backup government if the nation's capital were decapitated. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 134th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. It's July 31st, 2009. All the news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups here for you. An exclusive Media Monarchy interview with William Fox of Ghost Troop on National Level Exercise 09 and Vibrant Response. Military terror drills in effect. Fires, informants, and FEMA's relocation plans, provocateurs, preparedness, political suicide, strange change in the Yes Men, plus all the news purge updates on 9/11, swine flu, cyberspace, police state, and so much more on episode 134 of MediaMonarchy.com.
Boy, me go leave that Tony, you know, because it's too hot.
Too hot.
Going back to their debut self-titled record from 1979, that is, of course, The Specials with Too Hot. And it is. It's been a heat wave here in the Pacific Northwest over their previous 4 or so days. Heat in the triple digits. Today, Friday morning, the last day of July, July 31st, 2009, there's been a little bit of a break, and it feels downright great compared to the previous few days. However, that doesn't mean that the heat has died down on the political scene, the social scene, the information war scene. All the news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups are here for you on episode 134 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show. Coming to you live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time from the home base of the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And of course, thanks to 92.3 ZeroPointRadio.com. Simulcast live, 11 a.m. Mountain Time. RevereRadio.net, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And thanks to 98.5 Free Radio Olympia for rebroadcasting Media Monarchy Saturday mornings at 8 Pacific Time. 93.9 BoulderFreeRadio.com, KBFR. 87.9 Ground Zero Radio in Canton, Georgia. And thanks to Glenn from right here in Portland, Oregon at CascadiaPublicRadio.org. Thanks to all you guys who help spread the word about what's going down as we try and pull back the curtains on the world stage and see it for the shell game that it is. Thanks to my man Jeff Long over on the East Coast, helping spread the word through DC 9/11 Truth, as well as the Rock Creek Free Press. So again, huge thanks to all you guys and all the others I can't mention here. Longtime listeners, you know how we do all of it. We cram it in somehow. Sometimes we can get it in 2 hours and sometimes not, and we make more episodes, and we'll keep doing more. As it starts to ratchet down, we'll just get more active. If we glance at the breaking news this morning, again, July 31st, 2009, we of course have the Cash for Clunkers deal going on. House panel reaches deal on health care bill, and after beers, professor and officer plan to meet again. Those are the big three sideshow stories on the front of Google News right now. We also have deadly blasts hitting Baghdad mosques. Senator Chris Dodd, Democrat of Connecticut, diagnosed with early stage prostate cancer. And we have Reuters saying that Ron Paul's Fed plan is economic suicide. And we'll, of course, touch on that on this episode 134 of MediaMonarchy.com. So if we get to what is at hand, and yeah, it feels like it's another month, another set of terror drills and military exercises. Why do we pay attention to those? It's because the biggest terror events of the last decade have involved strange drills going on at the same time of the same events taking place. The drills also serve multiple other functions, desensitizing you to seeing the military roll down the street if they're doing DUI checkpoints or being officer friendly. But again, Posse Comitatus has been out the window. Military isn't supposed to do law enforcement, but all that's gone. It also lets the federal government and their Homeland, FEMA, Stasi forces co-opt the local and regional governments and media and on and on and on. What's been happening all this last week is something called National Level Exercise 09. We covered it last week. We have more this week. A few massive postings and all the strange things that swirl around these military exercises. Again, when we pay attention to them, last month we had Ardent Sentry, which again we covered in great deal on Media Monarchy. And its tie-in with the PSYOP known as Operation Blackjack. But Ardent Sentry, if you'll recall, specifically involved train derailments, simulated train derailments. And during that time, we saw three big train derailments, the likes of which we typically don't see. So once the coincidences start to pile up, it starts to get a little strange. If you'll recall, there was the train derailment hazmat situation in Illinois. Then we had the massive DC Metro crash. And there was even a Disney Metro Rail crash you may not have heard about. So we look at these drills and we look at the strange and disturbing developments that surround them. So we'll start off with a report from a few days ago at the top of National Level Exercise when it began this last Monday, July 27th, supposedly ending today, July 31st. U.S. terror simulation involving foreign agencies has begun. This from Steve Watson. A huge simulation coordinated by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, and the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, has begun with, of course, no mainstream media coverage at all. Again, only the smaller regional reports. The security exercise known as National Level Exercise 09, NLE 09, will last for 5 days and will involve foreign security officials working in conjunction with the U.S. military as well as federal, state, local, tribal, and private sector representatives. In the previous Watson InfoWars story on NLE 09, they noted that the exercise is a continuation of previous simulations under FEMA and DHS that have involved the rounding up and internment of American citizens labeled as quote-unquote suspected terrorists. Under the plan known as REX 84, Readiness Exercise 84, if you don't know about that, that ties into Oliver North and the CIA and continuity of government plans. Under REX 84 and other operations, FEMA, in association with 34 other federal civil departments and agencies, have consistently trained to detain large numbers of Americans. We also noted that several recently leaked Department of Homeland Security, FBI, and local law enforcement documents have stated that the focus of security operations should be, quote-unquote, right-wing extremists who support the Second Amendment and states' rights and oppose abortion and open borders. I've tried to point out many times that when the fake conservatives are in power, the enemy is over there, but then when the fake progressives get into power, the enemy is here. Because remember, we had Clinton, and it was all militias and Wacos and McVeighs and Operation Rescue and Ruby Ridge and Columbine and on and on and on. Bush comes in, bam, we're back in the Middle East again. Ultimately, the agenda is pretty much the same. We're just now seeing the apparatus built up in the wake of 9/11 being wheeled around and aimed squarely at you. In the news, they say, you know, that they're going to drill for these things. But again, their documents say they're worried about right-wing extremism, or what I'm calling homegrown errorism, But that's kind of the cover. Just like they said it was going to be for the terrorists. We're only listening to terrorist phone calls. They're training to take over our cities. Because if the controlled demolition of the economy continues apace, and the food gets worse, and the cyberspace war kicks off with hack attacks that punch you in the Facebook, or you get laid off, or the swine flu happens, or any of these things, they know you're going to get pissed off. And they're practicing for that. Again, we talk about these drills. What is a drill? A drill is a practice. What are they practicing? They're practicing taking over cities in the wake of an event where there will be widespread civil unrest. That's it. That's the most simple way you can break it down, I think. So it's not a conspiracy theory. On down this post, U.S. terror sim involving foreign agencies, posted up Monday on MediaMonarchy.com. I posted up the updates of things that started to spill out around this drill. And we do have embedded an interview from Jim Fetzer, the real deal, RadioFetzer.blogspot.com. He did an interview with some of the guys from Ghost Troop. However, I can go one better, at least one better for me, from me. Yesterday evening, I conducted a 90-minute interview with former Marine Corps Major William Fox of Ghost Troop, along with Donald Buswell and Captain Eric May. So that Fetzer interview is embedded up, as well linked up some of Ghost Troop's articles, and of course we're going to get more into this in just a moment. But I posted this up before my interview, so we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. However, there is a target analysis, so-called NLE target analysis, from Captain Eric May. He generally seems to say that the cities that get the most drills should be the most on the lookout. And those five cities, Chicago, New York City, Houston, Portland, Oregon, and Washington, D.C. So you can read all that analysis, all that is there. Videos and tweets and all kinds of stuff over the last week have exploded. So many people watching these exercises or trying to see what's going on during these exercises, seeing if the military is rolling down their street in the places NLE is taking place. That would be in FEMA's Region 6. Which includes Oklahoma, North Carolina, Texas, and others. There's a video about military equipment unloaded in North Carolina, Operation Overwatch. But then it gets interesting. North Carolina terror arrests, timed to coincide with NLE 09. This from Curt Nimmo. On Monday, again, the first day of these drills, on Monday, the feds swooped down on an alleged terror group plotting murder and mayhem in North Carolina. A federal indictment against the gang claims Raleigh drywall contractor Daniel Patrick Boyd and associates sought to wage violent jihad abroad and engaged in military-style training at home, this according to the AP. Specific details are not provided by the Gov. It is said Boyd, a poster child for white al-Qaeda, if there ever was one, trained at a terror camp in Afghanistan in the late 1980s and fought against the Soviet occupation of that country. Boyd was associated with Hezb-e-Islami, or Party of Islam. Another individual named in the indictment is Hyson Sharifi. AP quotes again, in July 2008, Sharifi left for Kosovo to engage in violent jihad, but it's unclear if he did any actual fighting. He returned to North Carolina in April 2009 to solicit funds and warriors to support the Mujahideen, but again, the indictment did not give details, end quote. In short, Hyson Sharifi and Daniel Patrick Boyd are intelligence operatives, or more likely, patsies. As Webster Griffin Tarpley has documented, patsies, dupes, useful idiots, and fanatics are integral to any false flag terror operation. Looking at you, Oswald. The North Carolina arrests are of particular interest now that FEMA is conducting NLE 09. The NLE 09 scenario will begin in the aftermath of a notional terrorist event outside of the U.S., and exercise play will center on preventing subsequent efforts by the terrorists to enter the U.S. and carry out additional attacks. The scenario enables participating senior officials to focus on issues related to preventing terrorist events domestically and protecting U.S. critical infrastructure. That's a quote from FEMA press release. NLE 09 is considered, quote, an important component of national preparedness, helping to build an integrated federal, state, tribal, local, and private sector capability to prevent any terrorist attack and rapidly and effectively respond to yada, yada, yada. The feds claim they prevented a terror attack in North Carolina. This is a well-orchestrated propaganda effort timed to coincide with NLE 09. It's particularly important to note this in the wake of the manufactured deluge of propaganda and federal and state reports portraying right-wing domestic terrorists as a threat to the homeland. A particular egregious instance of this propaganda was released in June when the Washington Times, a cornerstone of Operation Mockingbird, which we covered last week in relation to Uncle Walter Cronkite, helping you see BS. The Washington Times reported counterterror officials authenticated a video by a supposed al-Qaeda recruiter who claimed that he had the ability to smuggle a bioweapon into the U.S. via tunnels under the Mexico border. In the video, Abdullah al-Nafisi suggested that al-Qaeda might want to collaborate with members of the native U.S. white supremacist militias who hate the federal government. I don't know if I know exactly what native U.S. white supremacist militias are. We ain't native. Sorry. That's a whole other can of worms. That is kind of a great argument stopper. What about the Native Americans? Kurt Nimmer wraps this piece up on this North Carolina terror bus and says that it's no mistake that Daniel Patrick Boyd is white. Now, an update from CNN. And I swiped the video. I'm not going to play the clip, but I swiped it from CNN and uploaded it to youtube.com/MediaMonarchy. Wife of terror suspect says FBI tricked her. A woman whose husband and two sons are accused of plotting violent jihad overseas said the feds tricked her into leaving her home so they could search it. Sabrina Boyd said Tuesday that the FBI sent a person the family knew to her door to say that her husband and three sons had been in a serious car accident. Her husband, Daniel Boyd, and two of the couple's sons are charged with supporting terrorism and conspiracy to commit murder abroad. The FBI declined to comment on the woman's allegation. A person wearing a t-shirt that appeared to be covered in blood told her that an 18-wheeler truck had sideswiped her husband and three sons. The person, whom she didn't identify, told her it was grave and they were bleeding and I needed to be rushed immediately to the Duke Hospital. In 2007, Sabrina Boyd's 16-year-old son, Lukman, was killed in a car crash. So now she says, I'd already been through this 2 years prior. She said authorities took her daughter, and pregnant daughter-in-law to the hospital where she learned that her husband's and sons had not been in a car accident and weren't injured. When we got to the hospital, they brought us around back, separated us, handcuffed us, including my 8-month pregnant daughter-in-law, and were very rude, and then told us, they're not dying, they're detained, and you better cooperate. They used the death of my son to trick me into getting me out of my own house just so they could serve a warrant with nobody there. That's how they roll. A list of headline updates, pretty much all posted yesterday, July 30th. Again, we're still in this first massive posting of massive U.S. terror sims involving foreign agencies, NLE 09. From CBS News, this is important to note, Obama participates in terror preparedness test. This posted up again yesterday. Healthcare reforms put aside for a time as Obama headed to the White House Situation Room to oversee federal efforts to prevent a terror attack on the U.S. It was part of an exercise for officials at the highest level of the U.S. government, including members of the National Security and Homeland Security Councils. What made NLE09 different from previous training events is that it's focused exclusively on preventing a terror attack as opposed to responding to and recovering from one. So they even put Obama in the hot seat. These things all tie in to the drills. This from IsraelNationalNews.com. IDF vets train U.S. Jews to protect their communities. Starting in late July, which it is very much so right now, a group of Israeli combat veterans will be holding a training camp in New York to teach advanced self-defense techniques to Jews in U.S. communities. An increasing number of American Jews have expressed interest in the program following a wave of anti-Semitic incidents worldwide over the past year. The group calls itself Kitat Konenut New York, a reference to the rapid response teams active throughout Judea and Samaria. Rapid response teams in Israel, comprised of local civilians who are IDF veterans, have often been the first on the scene of terrorist attacks and other emergencies and have prevented casualties. It was founded in 2006 in response to a shooting attack at a Jewish center in Seattle, Washington. One woman was murdered in the attack and several others were wounded. Israeli Defense Force veterans training U.S. Jews in New York to protect their communities. Now, I don't wade into the race-baiting, race-war garbage. I don't believe there's a single unified conspiracy all at the top that it's all the Jews or it's all the Vatican Catholic assassins. I don't think it's quite that organized. I think it's more like multi-generational serial killers who have their place at the craps table. Generally, a lot of the same folks have been at that table for a long time. Every now and then, newer folks can buy their way in. The Soroses and the Gates of the world. But they ain't Rothschild Rockefeller. We also have a car bomb in northern Spain, Majorca, killing two police officers, heavily damaging police barracks. That's from VOA News, as well as the New York Times. Mock drill, security men thwart 1126 replay. That's from expressbuzz.com. That's, of course, referring to the Mumbai attacks last November 26th. Now they're drilling to prevent the exact same thing from happening again. That well-coordinated attack, which we went over in great detail. Miami Beach stages mock terror attack drill. That's from the Miami Herald. War on terror reaches U.S. citizens. This is interesting. This is from Press TV out of Iran. This going in to our current head of the Homeland Stasi Force, Janet Napolitano. War on terror reaches U.S. citizens. Washington has called on Americans to aid in counterterrorism activities, a move seen as a stepping stone to encroach upon civil liberties. Basically, they want you to rat out your neighbors. Illinois Army National Guard puts military war machines on the streets in Springfield, Illinois. By way of an Associated Press report, a Springfield-based military police company will be training with new armored vehicles in the area this week. The Illinois Army National Guard says training with the new armored security vehicles will start Thursday and run through Sunday. Oh, this is reassuring. Staff Sergeant Daniel Becker said that people shouldn't be afraid when they see armored vehicles on the road. No, they shouldn't be afraid. They need to let the idea sink in that it's normal for armed troops to be on the streets. After they get used to military vehicles on the road, they will need to get accustomed to military checkpoints. Before everything changed, that is, before the government used a bogus terror attack to increase the militarization of society, the military actually restricted its testing of equipment to, their own bases. But now they want you to understand that you now live in a banana republic. A strange update, Texas being one of the states included in the exercises. Yesterday, chemical fire prompts evacuation in the town of Bryan, Texas, B-R-Y-A-N, Bryan, Texas, at the El Dorado Chemical Plant. We've got reports from Raw Story as well as KXXV. Texas town of 72,000 evacuated due to chemical fire.
And there are new developments in the Bryan chemical fire. Now, we'll get you back to regular programming in just a minute, but first, the latest from North Bryan. That fire that's been burning all day is out, and the risk for any explosion has ended. As a result, officials have reduced the evacuation zone. Now, unless you live within 2 miles of Highway 21 and 47, you can now return home. But several streets in that area are still closed tonight. Highway 21 from FM 2818 to Highway 47 is still closed. So is Leonard Road from 2818 to Highway 47, along with Sandy Point from 2818 to OSR, and OSR from Sandy Point to Highway 21. Also, the intersection of Luza Lane and Highway 21 is also closed. Now, our own John Coco has been at this scene since this fire broke out around 12:30 this afternoon. He joins us live from the scene with the very latest. John?
Nicole, as you can see right behind me, the command center is still up and running and most of the emergency responders are still on the scene. What they're trying to figure out right now is whether they're going to shut the whole operation down for the evening or keep working through the night. I can tell you that some construction crews just showed up on the scene with some lights, some equipment. Right now, I don't know if you can see this behind me, but there's still some semblance of smoke. We haven't seen that for about an hour now. 4,000 to 5,000 people are still without their homes, and the danger of an explosion, which was the main danger all day, is no longer a threat.
All right, thanks, John. Now be sure to stay tuned to ABC 40 and ABC40.com for the very latest. We have team coverage for you coming up tonight at 10 o'clock. And, of course, we will continue to bring you updates as soon as they become available.
We now return you to our regularly scheduled broadcast. So is it strange that a chemical fire erupts in Texas? And the question being, coming from, actually, the message board called Portland Nuclear Inquest, again, tied in with Captain Eric May and the Ghost Troop, as well as William Fox, who we're going to hear a clip from my recent interview here in just a moment. Was the Ellington Air Force Base activity in any way related to the refinery explosion? Is the Ellington Air Force Base conducting hazmat drills? So what a coincidence, you're conducting hazmat drills, oh, and you have a hazmat situation. The last update I have on this first massive posting, massive U.S. terror sim involving foreign agencies, FEMA report on the Palmer, Texas population removal section is missing. This is from the Ellis County Observer. The Federal Emergency Management Agency's reports of how to mitigate potential civil uprisings and disasters have sections dealing with the mass relocation and confinement of citizen populations. Except in Palmer, Texas, a city 20 miles south of Dallas. The city of Palmer and the Palmer Police Department, according to a former reporter for Conservative Weekly, the Ellis County Press, who requested the FEMA documents for 3 months, have the federal plans, but the section instituting population relocation came up missing. Quote, I've already talked to Palmer Police Department Chief Mike Zadel about FEMA in Palmer. The section of the emergency management plan regarding moving people into camps is totally gone from the 3-inch binder, said Brandy Owen, the former reporter who penned a series of articles on the Trans-Texas Corridor last year. There's a chapter or section in that folder, but the section is gone from the plan. It's in the executive orders. It's in the FEMA documents about relocation. I don't know off the top of my head the latest amendments to all of that, but I know that initially, again, our man Carter helped set up FEMA. That was Zbigniew Brzezinski's 70s puppet. We've got the new 2000s puppet now from Brzezinski. But anyway, I believe initially it was that the post office would be involved in helping FEMA with relocation plans in the event of a catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. Yesterday evening, I conducted an amazing 90-minute interview with former Marine Corps Major William B. Fox on National Level Exercise 09 and Vibrant Response. It's all posted up. It's up and out. It's available. I implore you to get it and share it. With everything we're looking at, pandemics, mass vaccinations, economic collapse, cyber wars, birthers, and the threat of homegrown errorism, the amount of massive military drills currently running are made all the more disturbing. For this special interview episode from Media Monarchy, we talked to former Marine Corps Major William B. Fox from Ghost Troop about these current military exercises, NLE 09 and Vibrant Response. In this wide-ranging 90-minute interview, we use the terror drills as a backdrop for the bigger picture. The U.S. has been hijacked by foreign interests and globalist elites who are pulling the rug out from under us. Put simply, if a drill is a practice run, then the private military and the shadow government are practicing to take over our cities. Only by spreading this information can we hope to determine our own destiny on a grassroots level.
For example, right now with national level exercise, one of the most troubling things is we haven't been given solid scenario information by the Department of Homeland Security. Anytime we have a major level exercise, that's a cause of concern because typically, for example, 9/11 involved, of course, DHS hadn't been created yet, but we had everybody else at the highest levels involved. So that's usually an important red flag. Some things that were unique about NLE 2009, first off, there was this talk about focusing exclusively on terrorism prevention and protection. Actually, somebody saw a Freudian slip there. What are they going to do? Focus on terrorism protection as if we're going to protect internally generated false flag terrorism?
We're going to protect the terrorists because they may be triple agent patsies.
Exactly.
The kind of the pun and the Freudian slip there.
Yep.
So,
also, another interesting element here. Supposedly, this is the first major exercise, according to the FEMA news release, to focus exclusively on the terrorism aspect and response recovery. Also, another red flag, they talked about participation of Australia, Canada, Mexico, and the United Kingdom. In other words, for people who are concerned about national sovereignty, why the thing about bringing foreign troops on our soil, just like, in fact, the Mexican troops brought into the U.S. during the Katrina catastrophe. I have tried to reach points of contact with FEMA and DHS, and nobody's given me a straight answer, which is another red flag. The Coast Guard, which, of course, is directly underneath the Department of Homeland Security, is talking about small boats coming in. We see these different news blurbs coming into the country. But I think the lack of just honest discussion of scenarios. For example, I contacted a public information officer for the Houston Police Department, and she told me they normally do not discuss DHS-related training activities with the public because they're classified. So she suggests I submit an open records request to Houston Police Department. Well, they got back to me and said, well, what documents? And then I said to them, well, how can I know what documents? Because you haven't told me anything. And I'd be happy to come on down and actually look through file folders or whatever, and I haven't heard back from them. So I'm getting the runaround.
That's just a quick clip of my exclusive interview with former Marine Corps Major William B. Fox of the Ghost Troop and also writer and contributor to the Lone Star Iconoclast on NLE 09 and Vibrant Response. So again, it's the last day of July. It's July 31st. NLE 09 running from 27th until today. Vibrant Response beginning today, running till the 14th. More on that in just a second. I just want to implore you to, again, check out this new Media Monarchy interview. This is, if you're keeping score, special interview episode number 6. And again, I try and record these interviews off air. so I can edit and produce and put up a completed project. Again, as I've sort of tongue-in-cheek said, that they contain all the high production values you've come to expect from MediaMonarchy.com. All kidding aside, the interview is important. We go over a lot. I don't agree with everything he said, but I'm not going to get into that here. I can let you decide and discern. I sometimes try and take the tack that someone like Len Osanek does at blackopradio.com, where you get someone on and you let them talk. Maybe in the future we'll get a little more into it. Perhaps interview people from the other side and get a little more heated. However, having said all that, all I want to say is help spread this interview with William Fox. Now, on the heels of National Level Exercise 09, Vibrant Response to Train Troops, July 31st through August 14th. We have the flashback to last year's Vibrant Response, U.S. Nuke Scenario and NORTHCOM, posted up October 1st on MediaMonarchy.com. That was, you know, the scenario where a 10-kiloton nuclear device detonated in America's heartland. That's pretty much sounding like the same setup for this new Vibrant Response 09. This from the war horrors' mouths. Army News Service, military.com, Consequence Management Response Forces, or CSMRF, CCMRF, Consequence Management Response Forces, are staging a training exercise beginning today, July 31st, to prepare for potential domestic disasters capable of injuring or killing several thousand civilians. Remember, in the new military nomenclature, you're a civilian, not a citizen. The Vibrant Response exercise will be conducted by the Chemical, Biological, Radiological, Nuclear, and High-Yield Explosive, or CBRN, Joint Response Force, CBRNE, Joint Response Force, all the way up through August 14th, 2 weeks. Quote, it's going to be extremely complex and require a tremendous amount of coordination with other agencies and locals at various levels, like we've said. But this was said by Major General John Basilica, commander of Operational Command Post 1, U.S. Army North. It's all designed to test and challenge the headquarters and command in control elements to make sure they can work together to respond quickly, because speed is the most important piece of this. The service members will be given a situation in which they will be testing communication capabilities and reactions. Participants will be role-playing as certain public figures, like mayor and governor in one scenario. CBRN is made of three divisions, 9.1, 10.1, and 10.2. 10.1 and 2 are being trained to be combat ready by October 1st. Basilica heads up the 10.2 task force, which consists of reserve component units. Again, this is straight from the military, and that's why it's heavy on the jargon. The exercise will involve about 400 to 500 people at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. The home of, among other things, prisons and military bases. The two divisions will each train 1 week in succession with one another. Each CSMRF unit contains three task force: medical, operations, and aviation, in addition to smaller elements with specific technical expertise. The Operation Task Force from South Carolina, Medical Task Force from Illinois, and Aviation Task Force from Kentucky will all participate in the exercise. We don't get that many opportunities to provide these specific headquarters together and train in a command post type exercise. That's CPX for you, civilian. The CBRN was transferred to U.S. NORTHCOM's Joint Task Force Civil Support in October 02. They provide support from active Guard and Reserve members and civilians who are all commanded by a National Guard General Officer. CBRN is designed to work with federal agencies like the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Center for Disease Control to aid, restore, and prevent casualties in instances of major disaster. The CSMRF is only used after all state, local, and federal resources have been exhausted, Basilica and Collins said. We end with a quote from and this is the flaw in this report. They end with a quote from someone named Collins, and they only refer to him by his last name. However, nowhere in the preceding article did you hear me mention anyone named Collins. Regardless, quote, "We hope to God that there are no terrorist attacks or no major industrial accident in the U.S. where the city, state, or federal government might ask for additional capabilities. We hope that doesn't happen. But if it does, I think it's a great story for the nation that you have these multiple forces that would be trained and ready to step in and assist the states if they ask for extra help." I would say the idea is to get you to beg for extra help. That's basically everything and all that I have for you here on the current terror drills we're soaking in, National Level Exercise 09 and Vibrant Response. It's on the record. And now we're going to have to deal with a little bit of soap opera issues. We'll try and blast through them. It's Obamasiah and the Apostles of War, Strange Change, and Nope, Hope. So again, the soap opera issues. And these things are important and worth discussing, but not nearly as important as why it seems that Goldman, Gates, Monsanto, the Council on Foreign Relations, and more seem to be running this fake change. More on those guys in a little bit. But the soap opera stuff. Obama rushes to quell racial uproar he helped fire. This from the AP. This, of course, about the arrest of Professor Henry Louis Gates Jr. and the police acting stupidly and the furor. But again, they all sat down and had a beer yesterday. I think the only thing we're waiting to find out is what kind of beer did they have? The police did release the 911 call leading to Gates' arrest. That's by way of Raw Story and Raw Replay. Something William Fox said in the interview yesterday is perhaps this police race Gates flap. Perhaps even prevented something going down during these drills. That's speculation. Now, as we've repeatedly gone over on the show, as I've repeatedly said on the show, the birther meme, I believe, is akin to only paying attention to the building collapses on 9/11. It's the spectacle that draws attention, but it's probably not the key to unlock what goes on behind our latest puppet. I've said before, I'll say it again, I sure wish 9/11 questions got this much attention. Obama press secretary exasperated over the birther issue. This from InfoWars, by way of the New York Times, claiming that the Obama birth certificate issue is a rumor that's been widely discredited. This report goes into the possibilities of why it's an quote-unquote obvious fake, with connections to, of course, Annenberg and the foundations and all that. So, yada yada. Obama administration trots out Robert Gibbs, the current White House press secretary, to, of course, in the face of anything that they like to label as a conspiracy, they wheel out Gibbs to make sarcastic comments about those crazy birthers. But do his comments, and we'll get more on this in a second, but do they reveal the administration and the supporters being actually sincerely worried about the birther issue?
Robert, I hate to bring this up, but somebody has to. Is there anything you can say that will make the birthers go away?
No.
Or do you want to try?
I mean, the God's honest truth is no. I mean, Bill, let's understand this. And I almost hate to indulge in such an august setting as the White House, and I mean this in seriousness, the White House briefing room discussing the made-up, fictional nonsense of whether or not the president was born in this country. A year and a half ago, I asked that the birth certificate be put on the internet, because Lord knows, if you got a birth certificate and you put it on the internet, What else could be the story? Here's the deal, Bill. If I had some DNA, it wouldn't assuage those that don't believe he was born here. But I have news for them and for all of us. The president was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, the 50th state of the greatest country on the face of the earth. He's a citizen. But I have no doubt that Lester will ask me soon, and that I will receive email. I'm not entirely sure about that, Lester. But let's not. I'm happy to wager that you'll never ask me another birth question again. But and I'll put that. There we go. I'll take my winnings, put it in my son's college fund. But no, nothing will assuage that. There are 10,000 more important issues for people in this country to discuss rather than whether or not the president is a citizen when it's been proven ad nauseum. Yes, sir. Because for $15 you can get an internet address and say whatever you want.
And that's what we've done with MediaMonarchy.com. Thanks there, Robert Gibbs. I hate even that we're still kind of dealing with this, but the memes and the layers and the subtext and the context are all fascinating with this story. As we mentioned last week, the woman named Orly Tates seems to be the one that's getting all the attention lately, and that's because she is probably the wrecker to this whole operation. She's the useful idiot, patsy, dupe, out in front to perhaps misdirect and wreck the questions. So, of course, she gets to go on the Colbert Report. We also have Representative Louis Gohmert quietly signing on to the birther bill. Or this can also be read as left-wing website with direct ties to the White House smears InfoWars again. Louis Gohmert went on the Alex Jones Show, InfoWars.com, and so ThinkProgress.org has dredged up again and relinked up the smear connecting InfoWars to Poplawski, one of the shooters from back in the mass shooter meme from a few months ago. I believe he was from Pennsylvania. ThinkProgress.org, foundation-funded left gatekeeper connected to John Podesta of the Clinton White House and the foundation known as the Center for American Progress. Foundation-funded lefties. This National Petroleum Radio Report brought to you by the MacArthur Foundation and the Carnegies. And the Rothschilds. Chris Matthews, of course, also weighs in, saying, of course, that truthers and birthers are all insane.
I think a lot of these people who believe this stuff will say yes. Because if you believe this, you probably believe the worst. What are your thoughts? Are we talking psychological problems here with people or what?
I don't know. I mean, there are people who are certainly prone to embrace conspiracy theories. We see it with the idea that 9/11 was an inside job. We see it with the idea that the Bilderberg Group meeting every year is, in fact, a global international banking cabal designed to institute a world government. And it just so happens that a lot of the folks who believe those things also believe the rest of them. And what Howard said is true. I mean, there are enough of them, particularly in the internet age, where they can be something of a force in politics and one that Republicans have to watch out for. Because they will drag them down into this, you know, sort of marginal
path. You are great.
Ken, I'm falling
in love. You are great. You've reminded me of all the erogenous zones of insanity in one sentence of free thinking there. Your stream of consciousness has picked up on the idea that George W. Bush was sitting in the White House basement with a plunger as he blew up the World Trade Centers with his uncanny ability to get away with murder.
Chris.
Yes,
Chris, look, Howard, can I just give a lot of money. Ron Paul's campaign showed that. There are folks who embrace the conspiracy theories and Nate distrust of the federal government, and they can be a force in politics in the internet age, but Republicans have to be careful they don't cater too much to them, otherwise they marginalize themselves in the mainstream debate.
Well, Ron Paul has a lot of appeal as a libertarian. But go ahead, Howard, last thought.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the White House is not unhappy that this is happening. My ears perk up whenever a politician or a spokesman denies something he hasn't been accused of. Robert Gibbs said, I'm being perfectly serious here about this, and I almost don't want to talk about it, but I will. But I would caution the White House not to be too cute by half about this stuff. I mean, they think they can do a controlled burn on this.
A controlled what? Oh, a controlled burn. Now, you at least heard Chris Matthews there giving some weak defense of Ron Paul. Oh, don't bring Ron Paul into this. He's actually has a lot of great libertarian ideas that a lot of people would actually get behind. So all the memes, all the garbage, all the limited hangout, phony left-right, mainstream media, talking head, class war, race war, fake left-right, can't even hope to break it all down. But what we need to remember, one, is that I'm saying the birther issue is like the controlled demolition issue. There's other things, other more important things, other things that really could bring it down, but you're paying attention to the spectacle, the intangible spectacle we may never really be able to prove. And even if the birth certificate's fake, we will rush headlong to change the Constitution overnight, and then it's hello, or rather, Heil Arnold. Or worse. The other thing, we need to remember that all this birther stuff was started by a Jewish left Democrat from Pennsylvania named Philberg, who runs ObamaCrimes.com. So just as the phony right said 9/11 questions came from the fringe loony left, now the phony left says that Obama birther questions come from the extreme right. Either way, kids, the false left-right paradigm wins again. Thanks for playing. Obama administration begins opposition to states claiming sovereignty and gun rights. That's from Maine Hunting today. That's another whole element of this. The Second Amendment issues. But from Brass Check TV, there's a great piece, Obama's Era of Change. Why is it possible for part-time researchers to scoop the New York Times over and over again? Because the Times isn't a news source. It's a disinfo bureau, and they have other things on their minds. Their current project, erasing public memory of the fact that the U.S. trained and armed the Taliban, the same people who are slaughtering our troops in the Afghan surge right now. Another interesting bit from faux news, but my ears always perk up when I hear strange media memes. And this would be about Obama's Soylent Green healthcare.
What I'm worried about here is that if you're young and, you're reasonably healthy, it's one thing. You get a little bit older. Mm-hmm. I can't see doctors not weighing, does the 70 or 75 or 80-year-old need this?
Do we need to die?
Right.
Yeah. Well, the last film that Edward G. Robinson made before he died 3 weeks later was Soylent Green, 1973. Starring Charlton Heston. And basically what they do is you get to a certain age and you're like, yeah, you walk slow, you're weak, yeah, but my palpitate, nah, forget. They put him on the cot, they show him a beautiful, beautiful cineramic thing of what his life probably was or should have been, and then they give him an injection and then, boom, they put him in the bag and they get rid of him. Done. Because you know what's going to happen?
And Soylent Green was people.
It was people, but you know what's going
to
happen?
I don't want to give away.
No, but we're going to get to the point where, if you're 20, if you're 40, maybe 50, whatever, we will do these tests. When you start to hit 60, 65, 70, we're not going to do three tests. We're going to do one because it doesn't make sense to keep you around if it's going to cost us a fortune. Don't doctors today in the private health care system order an extraordinary amount of tests. Why? They're afraid of being sued for malpractice. The government's not going to be afraid to be sued for malpractice.
But, we're making other decisions as well under the current system. Right now, if you look at the number of people that are uninsured, which we've all heard that number time and time again, something like 20,000 people die each year or the last year that they kept track because they don't have insurance. So right now, we're basically saying, okay, well, those people, we're going to prioritize everybody else under the current system. You're picking and choosing no matter what in a way.
Don't really have the time to get into the whole healthcare issue right now. We will have an important note that ties in with what they just talked about, Soylent Green. But what I want to mention, sidebar, is, of course, if you haven't seen Soylent Green, it's fantastic and absolutely worth seeing. It's up there as all with, you know, all the best dystopic sci-fi films that pretty much accurately in some way or another predict what we're looking at. Of course, thanks in no small part to illuminated folks like Aldous Huxley and H.G. Wells. Having said that, again, Soylent Green is great if you can get past Charlton Heston and the dubious sexual politics of the movie. Basically goes into all the food's fake, and everyone's in compact cities, begging for federal assistance. And the only jobs you can get, like Charlton Heston has, is being a corrupt Stasi. Another movie side note I'll make, as long as we're talking about movies here real quick. To beat the heat the other day, I went to go see the longest movie I could find. And that was Michael Mann's Public Enemies, starring, of course, Johnny Depp, Christian Bale, and noted 9/11 truther, Marianne Cotillard. But the comment I put up on the F-book is, how on earth do you make a bad movie about murderous folk heroes robbing from the banksters and the Federal Reserve, which in turn causes a nascent federal organization that's hungry for more power and more money and more control to, quote-unquote, take the white gloves off, like they did in Italy, fascism, and begin to rough up and torture people to eradicate this scourge? It was just a big mess. It was a big, big mess. Michael Mann, of course, the guy behind Miami Vice and Heat, but his best work, I believe, by far, is The Insider. But I digress very much. The last few updates here on Obama signed the Apostles of War, Strange Change, and Nope Hope. Obama faces Carter-Clinton parallels. Robert Perry goes into that on consortiumnews.com. California man found guilty of making threats against Obama. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. Widespread domestic surveillance continues under Obama. That from bradblog.com. Guest blogged by Peter B. Collins. He has a podcast, The Peter B. Collins Show. Recent interview with Sybil Edmonds, James Bamford, Mark Klein, AT&T, NSA, all that. So, of course, the agenda goes on. Widespread domestic surveillance continues under Obama. Hillary moved to halt disclosure of CIA torture evidence, court told. That's from The Guardian. Meanwhile, fortunately, Representative Holt has called for another church committee hearing on the CIA. That's from the WashingtonIndependent.com. Strangely enough, from WSBTV.com, officers ran background check on Obama, and they have been placed on leave. Two DeKalb County police officers have been placed on paid administrative leave after an investigation revealed that they ran a background check on President Barack Obama. A representative for DeKalb County, Georgia's CEO's office identified the officers as Ryan White and C.M. Rout. Officials said Obama's name was typed into a computer inside a DeKalb County police car on July 20th and ran through the National Crime Information Center. Secret Service was immediately notified and contacted the DeKalb County Police Department. Before we hit the last massively important piece on the Obama-sia, this all ties in. And this reminds me of the recent interview I did with James Corbett on 9/11 and cyberterrorism, that all this new cyberspace war memes have been ushered in with the Obama era. Of course, it's the most internet presidency ever. The Twittered masses. But he has also been repeatedly, heavily hacked. We've seen the Twitter account hacked. We saw the battle over the BlackBerry, running background checks. What was the passport scandal during the campaign? We're going to get to a frightening story in the cyberspace war section about recent links, rather leaks, concerning the First Lady's presidential escape route, presidential limo routes, codes and bunkers, all put up on peer-to-peer networks. Again, is this accidental? God knows. From the aforementioned New York Times, power shifts in plan for capital calamity, or Obama's continuity of the shadow government. Again, this is from the New York Times. A shift in authority has given military officials at the White House a bigger operational role in creating a backup government if the nation's capital were decapitated by a terrorist attack or other calamity. This, according to current and former officials involved in the decision. The move, which was made in the closing weeks of the administration of President George W. Bush, came after months of heated internal debate about the balance of power and the role of the military in a time of crisis, participants said. Officials said the Obama administration had left the plan essentially intact. Under the revamped structure, the White House Military Office, which reports to the Office of the White House Chief of Staff, that's dual Israeli citizen Rahm Emanuel, who wants to bring compulsory national service to you, so you can join the Stasi force. Remember, that'll be the only job for you in the new dystopic future. Under the revamped structure, the White House Military Office, which reports to the Office of the White House Chief of Staff, has assumed a more central role in setting up a temporary shadow government in a crisis. In the office, a 2,300-person outfit best known for flying Air Force One has taken on added responsibilities as the lead agent in shepherding government leaders to a secure site at Mount Weather in rural Virginia, keeping classified lists of successors, and maintaining computer systems, among other operational duties. Many of these types of tasks were previously handled by civilians at other agencies, led by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Does that put a bit of this into perspective for you, my friends? Power shifts in plan for capital calamity. Obama's continuity of shadow government. I've mentioned time and time again, it's one of those few things I feel like I tried to force out there, like the bizarre train derailments during Ardent Century. The fact that head of the War Department, Robert Gates, CIA criminal, war whore, you remember Bush's Secretary of Defense, it's now Obama's Secretary of Defense, that guy? He was the quote-unquote designated successor during the recent inauguration. He was in an undisclosed location in case a nuke went off in D.C. We would be run by a military dictator. Another side note, I find it interesting in that last paragraph we heard, 2,300-person outfit taken on added responsibilities as the lead agent in shepherding government leaders to a secure site at Mount Weather in rural Virginia. That very close to rural West Virginia, home of my alma mater, Shepherd University, home of the Israeli-Syrian peace talks in 2000, and also home to what I believe are several dubious government sites tied in with Fish and Wildlife, the Department of the Interior. You'll recall, of course, that the Greenbrier in the heart of West Virginia was the old emergency bunker. Where's the new one? Or where are some of the new ones? So I found that quite interesting. Shepherding government leaders to a secure site at Mount Weather. I hope that all makes sense. If it doesn't, all the links are there to help it tie all in together for you. It seems complicated, but once you start to see the structure, once you start to read the script, once you start to look at the blueprints and their white papers of what they've said, it all comes together. And it's all swirling around in this ugly stew right now. So we're looking down the barrel of pandemics, mass forced vaccinations, economic collapse, class war, race war, food war, cyberspace war, it's all coming down. I guess the only question, are we going to get active or get radioactive and somehow draw attention to all this and just say no? Or are we waiting for the other shoe to drop in the form of a 9/11 to be? Or will they go for the frog boil? The incremental slow frog boil. There won't be massive explosions. You'll just slowly maybe have what I think Clyde Lewis called an apocalypse of the soul. We're well into hour number two of episode 134 of MediaMonarchy.com. The studio is heating up. I'm starting to sweat. Again, your damn Humvee caused all this. That's why it's so warm. The sun isn't heating up at all. That has nothing to do with it. It's all your carbon footprint. So I'm going to put my carbon footprint in your ass, and we're going to take a quick break with Ann Miller, and it's too darn hot.
Hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight.
Crazy, man!
I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. But I ain't up to my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to coo with my baby tonight. Pitch the woo with my baby tonight. I'd like to coo with my baby tonight. And pitch the woo with my baby tonight. But sister, you fight my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot.
It's too darn hot.
According to the latest report, every average girl you know much prefers her lovey-dovey to court when the temperature is low. But when the thermometer goes way up and the weather is sizzling hot, Mr. Atom, Forrest Matton, is not. 'Cause it's too darn hot. It's too darn hot.
It's too darn hot. Cool. Well, do it. Make me know it.
Miller with the song Too Darn Hot. I believe that's from the film musical Kiss Me, Kate. And yes, you actually are listening to episode 134 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, blasting out from the home base of the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And again, thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, FrOlympia.org, BoulderFreeRadio.com, Ground Zero Radio in Canton, Georgia, and CascadiaPublicRadio.org. We're going to have to pick up the pace, my friends, if we have any hope of getting through all of the ridiculous news. Racist, provocateur, and radio host Hal Turner worked for the FBI. As I note before the article, as these stakes get higher, as we're seeing, we have to expose that much of this homegrown errorism that's being hyped is being fed by the feds. Classic COINTELPRO. You know, something the left only fights against when their puppet isn't in power. In a lame attempt to save his hide and stay out of prison for allegedly threatening to kill federal judges, the racist talk show host Hal Turner has admitted in court that he is an FBI informant, the Chicago Breaking News Center reported. ChicagoBreakingNews.com. Many have pointed out for some time that the white supremacist from North Bergen, New Jersey, was an FBI informant. Assistant U.S. Attorney William Hogan tried to dismiss Turner's admission. Hogan said Turner may have had some contact with the FBI's informant, but that was quite some time ago, reports Jeff Cohen, by way of Cryptagon.com and others. Recent evidence, however, reveals that Turner has continued his relationship with the feds. Documentation in 2008, which we did link up and cover quickly on Media Monarchy, thanks to hackers, they hacked into a system, this is long story short, hacked into a system and basically found his FBI handler. That being broken down by Richard Evans at loveforlife.com. As documented by Brian Glick and others, under COINTELPRO, that's counterintelligence program, the FBI subsidized, armed, directed, and protected Ku Klux Klan guys and other racist groups, including the Secret Army Organization of California. Now, the broader context. The FBI is notorious for unleashing informants and provocateurs. In 2008, it was discovered that informants working for the FBI were at the center of a supposed terror plot aimed at Fort Dix in New Jersey. One of the informants received nearly $240,000 in taxpayer money for his role in the op. In 2007, FBI was caught manipulating seven impoverished residents of Liberty City, Florida, attempting to get them to blow up the Sears Tower in Chicago, which, of course, is now owned by Larry Silverstein. As it turns out, the supposed terror plot and the principal source of resources for the group came in the form of an FBI informant posing as an Al-Qaeda representative. Earlier this year, the FBI lured a gang of pathetic would-be terrorists in New York with piles of cash and gifts and even bags of weed, quoted by the New York Post. The men were later charged with plotting to blow up synagogues and military jets. Other incidents of FBI agent provocateurs attempting to get people to engage in violent and illegal acts are legendary. The McDavid case, for example. And there's more. You can go into that. Raw story. So, considering all this blatant history of FBI provocation, it's entirely possible that Hal Turner was encouraged by the agency to issue threats against federal judges. This article goes on, but I think you get the point. I think that's why. Not a member of any group. Don't report to anybody. Not leading anybody. Not telling you what to do. Because there is the dark side of conspiracy. So the flashbacks to the Hartford Courant, as well as InfoWars, internet radio host Hal Turner faces Connecticut charges and FBI operative Hal Turner arrested. Something else to think about. This was memory holed by the Orlando Sentinel, but rescued by InformationLiberation.com. Neo-Nazi rally was organized by FBI informant. That ties into a lot of the race war instigations that we'll see, and we'll see more of. Again, if you want to do something, you kind of need the capital. You need the agreement. So what do? You fake an attack. You hit your own gang. So whether your gang is Bloods or Cribs, and that's classic gang warfare, or if your gang is Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda or the Anti-Defamation League. Heard the reports, of course, of it was the Jewish girl who spray-painted the swastika on her own door. It's all false flag attacks. A very interesting, although not at all surprising, update to last week's amazing story of the top New Jersey God and government leaders arrested in a black market money and even organ donor scandal. This, again, from the New York Times, New Jersey political consultant facing bribe charges found dead. A veteran New Jersey political consultant who was among dozens arrested in a huge corruption sweep last week was found dead in his Jersey City apartment on Tuesday, the same day that one of the three mayors charged in the case resigned. The circumstances surrounding the death of the consultant, Jack M. Shaw, are quote-unquote suspicious, said Edward J. DeFazio, the Hudson County Prosecutor's Office. He said it didn't appear to be a homicide. It could be natural, it could be accidental, it could be suicide. But he said it's suspicious. An autopsy was set for Wednesday. I don't have any more updates. But there's another bit from the Wall Street Journal, and it's an article called Kidney Brokers Flourish When Compensation Is Illegal. And this ties in with something that's called the National Organ Transplant Act of 1984. But this article that's basically saying organ donating and the money for it, this shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't be a black market thing. I can't get into all the layers of it, but when I looked at who wrote it, it's Dr. Sally Satel, S-A-T-E-L, who is a resident scholar at the neocon organization known as the American Enterprise Institute. She was also the editor of a book called When Altruism Isn't Enough, the case for Compensating Kidney Donors. So I'm sure we haven't heard the last on this story that does tie in political corruption, religious corruption, all of it. Was he suicided? We may never know. It's on now to the massive news purge. The first one, 9/11, bio war, cyberspace war, drug wars, and the econo crash, blasting through the latest 9/11 updates. Families and first responders and survivors are going to take New York City to court over the NYCCAN.org petition. We've got reports from 9/11 blogger as well as press releases from Scoop out of New Zealand. Again, that's the ballot initiative being put in front of New Yorkers about a new 9/11 investigation. A nice video by way of, again, 9/11 blogger, distinguished Canadians calling for a new 9/11 investigation, international calls for a 9/11 investigation. That's by way of Truth Move, but it goes to daily.pk out of Pakistan. GOP disses 9/11 responders. That's from New York Daily News. 9/11 Commission leaders urge more action on security issues. That's from the Washington Post, and those are the two front men for the 9/11 omission report. They were saying, you haven't implemented everything in the 9/11 report. The one that we were never meant to find out exactly what happened, we were just meant to try and figure out how to prevent it from ever happening again, as if it's possible to prevent everything. That's kind of the fallacy of a lot of this, too, the idea that you can be protected from everything all the time. Mullen says Osama is still in Pakistan. That's from the Daily Times, out of Pakistan, always dredging up Emmanuel Goldstein. And the last bit from Raw Replay, Cheney wanted a show of force on 9/11 anniversary. And we'll have a mention of Bush and Buffalo, New York, and phony terror bus in just a few moments. But on to the biowars and swine flu updates. Exeter City in the UK planning to use the catacombs beneath the city as mass graves for swine flu victims. That doesn't sound like the makings of the Black Plague of Death. I don't know what does. Cashing in on the pandemic, breaking down the big pharma connections to the pandemics. That's by way of Dot Connector UK. An amazing, massive, important, well-documented, and sourced article from globalresearch.ca, written by Michelle Chosadovsky. Martial law and the militarization of public health, the worldwide H1N1 flu vaccination program. But from the LA Times, swine flu could kill hundreds of thousands in the U.S. if the vaccine fails, the CDC says. Putting a little more boogie-boogie to you. A video from David Icke telling you don't take the vaccine. Hundreds volunteer for St. Louis University swine flu vaccine study. That's by way of bizjournals.com. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has a great article on vaccinations and deadly immunity. We got a flashback video from Adrian Gibbs, of course, the doctor saying that swine flu was made in a lab. Bloomberg actually videoed an interview with him. That's from May 13th, and it's linked up for you. Oklahoma kids to get a shot at swine flu vaccine. That's from newsok.com. Flu pandemic, mass graves, martial law, again. Here's what we referenced earlier in the Soylent Green healthcare clip. This by way of theherald.co.uk. Elderly should be low priority for antivirals, says scientist. We've heard this before, that basically the sick and the old will be left to die in the case of a pandemic. Flu shots on tap for healthcare workers. That's from Cranes, New York. BBC may broadcast educational programs if swine flu shuts down the schools. So the idea being that the schools are shut down, so BBC will show the educational program that your kid can watch while he's quarantined at home. Now, of course, when everybody goes digital, we can all just switch over to the Pentagon channel. Frightening, amazing, great work from anti-fascist calling. That's Tom Burkhardt. Biowarfare research lifting the lid on America's 28 days later. So what begins talking about the... Remember Danny Boyle, British sci-fi film 28 Days Later, of course, opens with animal rights activists breaking into the Cambridge Primate Research Facility to free chimpanzees used in a secret weapons program. And that's, of course, what let out rage created by the feds. This amazing article goes into, of course, all the biolabs, all the disturbing connections, Plum Island, you name it. Lifting the lid on America's 28 days later. Startling new evidence that the swine flu pandemic is man-made. Again from Dot Connector UK. Government swine flu advisor on vaccine maker payroll. Connected to GlaxoSmithKline. Military planning for possible H1N1 outbreak. That's from CNN. We also have reports from InfoWars. Military to work with FEMA during swine flu pandemic. Military to deploy on U.S. soil to assist with pandemic outbreak. That's from Natural News. Swine flu shot may rely on emergency use of additives. That's from Bloomberg. And we'll flesh that out in just a moment. But first, the University of Alabama implements mandatory vaccination program. From Der Spiegel, an interview with epidemiologist Tom Jefferson, where he says, quote, a whole industry is waiting for a pandemic. But on those aforementioned emergency use of additives, that would be the Washington Post as well as Bloomberg there confirming that the swine flu vaccine coming soon to a town near you will contain thimerosal mercury. Another video from Faux News, Shepard Smith, corporate media, getting you ready for forced experimental vaccinations. But as I said earlier, it seems like we're getting prepped to get punched in the Facebook. It's time for cyberspace war. Got cyber skills? Uncle Scam wants you. That's from Federal Computer Week. I added the scam. We've seen this already building up. They want cyber warriors. Again, the military, using the information operations roadmap, wants to fight the net because it is an enemy weapons system. Those are quotes. The military actively engaging you and me on our websites and blogs. That smells like tyranny. Mischief in cyberspace, that's from the hiddendobusinessline.com. Private cybersecurity commission to continue, again from Federal Computer Week. U.S. government lacks tech talent for cyber defense. Cyber czar jobs remain open. That's from nextgov.com. Again, the interesting back and forth on this. All the prep, all the hype. Everybody saying we need to do something. Other folks saying you're not doing enough. Which is, again, another perfect pretext for an EMP and a major cyberspace war hack attack. They'll say, gosh, we just need more money and more control. And hey, wouldn't you know it, we already have an iPatriot Act sitting on the shelf, confirmed by Richard, your government failed you, Clark. Obama plan would endanger privacy with NSA cybersecurity plan. That's from the Los Angeles Times. But from the New York Times, Disney takes web surfers to the lab to see which ads work. Frightening. Disney, watching you watch ads. Minority Report on the way. To be followed probably shortly by fingerprint log on to Internet 2. Leaked phone call. This by way of Cryptagon. This is a little deep. CEO of Easter, E-E-S-T-O-R, a cyber tech company. The CEO was, quote-unquote, recruited by CIA, DARPA, and Lockheed Martin to make a, quote, chip that went into deep space. Obama administration going soft on cybersecurity. That's from darkreading.com, and that's what we just said. You're not doing enough. So when something blows up in our face, another round of finger-pointing will happen, and again, the agenda will roll forward. Data detailing New York Stock Exchange network exposed on unsecured server. That's from Threat Level. Air Force on the hunt for subversive behavior online, of course, from Danger Room. Another interesting and amazing article that did fortunately make the rounds from the New York Times. Scientists worry machines may outsmart man. That was a front page article. Apple threatening that iPhone jailbreaks could crash cell phone towers. So they're basically saying your little device tethered to Apple and AT&T, which of course is connected at the hip with the National Security Agency. If you crack that, well, then you're with Al-Qaeda. Now, of course, I'm joking. They're not saying that, but they're saying it's unstable. If you untether from the corporate teat, well, gosh, we just don't know what's going to happen. Cyber Czar finalists, appointment coming soon. Goody, goody, I can hardly wait. We'll see who the Cyber Czar will be. Now, what I mentioned before, again, we've never seen so much hacking going on. We've never seen, if this is the first internet presidency, it's the most hacked presidency we've ever seen. Report by way of the Washington Post as well as ComputerWorld.com. First Lady's safe house route. Some government mafia trial info and more leaked on peer-to-peer networks. Details on presidential motorcades, safe houses for the first family, again, all leaked. Vulnerabilities allow attacker to impersonate any website. U.S. falling behind on catching up with cybersecurity. Military may ban Twitter and Facebook as security headaches. SAIC, our good private military industrial complex contractor friends, awarded a Department of Homeland Stupidity National Communications System contract. SAIC, of course, involved in, or trying to be involved until, you know, their conflict of interest forced them to drop out in the bidding war for Top Off, which, of course, turned into national level exercise, which we're soaking in right now. See, kids, it all connects. A few notes on the drug war. Does this sound like change? This from Raw Story. Obama's drug czar says that marijuana, quote, has no medical benefit. Is Big Pharma trying to take all the fun out of pot? That's from Alternet. Tune in, turn on, and cheer up. Swiss psychiatrist fights fear with LSD. Fascinating article from, again, Der Spiegel. And finally, from Time Magazine, Florida's hydroponic pot, homegrown and super potent. They're saying that's a bad thing. Econocrash, my friends. In a shift, Fed puts Bernanke in public spotlight. This is an amazing PR damage control operation. Again, brought to you here by the New York Times, but helicopter Ben Bernanke, head of the neither federal nor reserving Federal Reserve. He did a special primetime show with Jim Lehrer of PBS. It shows that the Federal Reserve is under fire. The word is getting out that it was set up secretly by banksters who ran away to an island to hatch the plans. It was passed in Congress with a limited amount of people. while they were pretty much on vacation during Christmas. 1913, I believe. Check the dates. They set it up, but then it was also then announced later. Going off the top of my head. But the word's out. So this is damage control mode. Bernanke stutters and stammers and shakes his way through questions on audit the Fed bill. However, if we grab the quote by way of Washington's blog, we know that Bernanke, 3 days ago, said, quote, a lot of things happened. A lot came together and created possibly the worst financial crisis, certainly since the Great Depression, and possibly including the Great Depression. That's Bernanke saying that this could possibly be worse than the Great Depression. That by way of Market Watch. That's a quote. Rasmussen poll says 75% favor auditing the Fed. UK economic collapse rivals Great Depression. That's from the Telegraph. But we even have the Wall Street Journal saying that we should, quote, break up the Fed. Federal Reserve is a Ponzi scheme, an inside job. That by way of Raw Story, quoting Elliot Spitzer, a guy who seems to know what he's talking about. If you remember his little Valentine's Day op-ed in the New York Times a couple years ago, predatory financial practices pretty much sealed his fate as the governor of New York. U.S. Senator slams Washington Post defense of Fed secrecy. Ron Paul still drumming up congressional support to audit the Fed. That's from RussiaToday.com. The real unemployment rate hits a 68-year high. That's from dollars and cents, like the cents you need in your head, dollarsandcents.org. 96% of credit derivative risk held by five banks, and those banks, of course, are still not lending. An interesting report by way of Starbucks, or rather by way of Crypticon.com, by way of The Guardian. The stealth of Starbucks, that would be them starting to de-brand some of their stores. They've been a little too successful, and now they realize again that the public feeling is starting to swell against corporatism. They're going to, of course, on multiple levels, pull some steam valve things, let you make the idea that some changes are happening and good things are happening so you don't completely flip out. That's the pressure valve thing. Obama's election served that very well. Starbucks debranding, and they're going to act like their local community stores. Fakes. I would say that's another example of false flag. Police say a woman ran a strip club in her basement. Again, I like documenting the interesting and creative ways people are fighting and trying to stay afloat in the new financial world order. Nine places to party like it's 1929. That's from budgettravel.com, and just interesting to note the comparisons between then and now. The last note on economic crash and the last note on this first News Purge posting, 9/11, bio war, cyberspace, drug war, and economic crash. Subpoenas issued to Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. Why would that be? Well, let's go to Bloomberg and find out. A Senate panel seeking evidence of fraud tied to last year's mortgage crisis has issued subpoenas to financial companies including Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase, said U.S. Senator Tom Coburn, a Republican from Oklahoma. Coburn declined to say whether subpoenas were issued to other institutions. Frankfurt, Germany-based Deutsche Bank, Germany's biggest bank by assets, was also sent a subpoena, according to a person with knowledge of the inquiry who declined to be identified because the request isn't public. So there you go, my friends. Deutsche Bank, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, the usual suspects. And were they involved in the recent financial collapse? The same time that the Obama-siah was swept into office, thanks in no small part to the most private funds given by Goldman Sachs to Barack Obama. Do you think maybe they had something to do with what's going on? Nah, that's a conspiracy. Let's blast quickly through the latest headlines on the Binge and Purge on foodworldorder.com, sister site to MediaMonarchy.com. Corn is the primary ingredient in all American fast food. Surprise, surprise. That's from ecochildsplay.com. Genetically modified crops back in the UK. That's from redgreenandblue.org. GMO scandal, the long-term effects of genetically modified food on humans. Again, a fantastic, well-sourced, well-documented article from Global Research. Food safety's scorched earth policy. We have H.R. 2749. Initially, quick vote, roll call vote, tripped it up in the House a few days ago, Wednesday. We've got reports from the Washington Post and the Fresno Bee, but a bad update in a moment. But we also have from Natural News, Codex Alimentarius threatening the health of billions. And more on Michael Taylor, who's of course now head of the FDA Food Safety Working Group. Funny in that they're surprised. Jeffrey Smith over at HuffingtonPost.com. You're appointing who, Obama? Say it isn't so. I'm so shocked that a CFR Brzezinski bankster puppet such as yourself would appoint someone from Monsanto to the FDA. That's some change you can genetically modify. But the updates. House then finally approved H.R. 2749, the overhaul of food safety regulations, giving sweeping new authority to the FDA. That's from McClatchy in the Washington Post, and you better be afraid. The other news purge. It just gets uglier and uglier, my friends. We'll start off with EnviroHealth. Global warming is, of course, the new religion of first world urban elites. That's from the Vancouver Sun. India widens climate rift with the West, of course, because they maybe, you know, kind of deny this anthropogenic global warming. LiveScience.com, again, asking the question the CFR wants to answer for you. Should we geoengineer the climate, as if, of course, we haven't been already? It's weather wars. Former Belgian mayor crusades against chemtrails, but here we have a quick clip from a History Channel documentary validating what's going on with chemtrails and weather wars.
Man is on a quest to play God, to control the weather and use it as a weapon. Lightning, torrential rains, hurricanes, targeted at the enemy.
The ultimate war is if you never have to fire around and nobody ever knew you launched a fight.
Is it possible there have already been attacks using weather weapons?
Some people believe that Katrina was weather warfare at its most potent.
But how do we get from understanding extreme weather to making it do our bidding?
Earthquakes, tidal waves, those become the future of warfare.
This series investigates how the impossible is becoming possible and what it might mean in the future.
If an enemy could change the jet stream over North America, it could plunge North America into an ice age.
In recent years, peculiar cloud formations have been appearing in the skies all over the world with increasing frequency.
I think most of us in North America have wondered at these plumes crisscrossing the sky in grid patterns, parallel rows, and the now familiar S's. And many of us have wondered what these trails are.
While highly speculative, some researchers suggest these strange cloud formations are another agent of weather warfare. They first appear to be simply contrails coming from high-flying jet airplanes. But these trails linger in the sky for many hours, some for even an entire day, forming an artificial cloud. Some researchers refer to them as chemtrails.
Chemtrails are deliberately sprayed by high-flying U.S. Air Force tankers, dispersing chemicals into the atmosphere.
Weather wars. And now it's hurry, 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 my friends. It's going to be fast and furious. On down the news purge. Geopolitics. Iran vows to hit Israel's atomic sites if attacked. Oh, yeah? Ehud Barak warns Iran possible Israeli strike on nuclear facilities, and even a video to back it up. Israel indicates a military strike on Iran is possible. That by way of The Independent, The Times Online, and more. Oliver Stone still hyping and helping and pushing James Douglas's fantastic book, JFK and the Unspeakable. There's an op-ed up on Huffington Post. Russian Navy declassifies Cold War close encounters. We're in the history mystery realm. Government not even trying to prove Ivan's guilty for anthrax murders. Fresno area lawyer not shy about taking on the CIA. Speaking of, what about the first CIA assassination? CBS reporter George Polk. An interesting bit from Newsblaze.com. Illuminati vampires, but who's the real sucker? Can you help support a new five-part video series on the JFK assassination? We've got the corporate roots of Auschwitz. FamilySecurityMatters.org praises Nazi spy Reinhard Galen. And on the Apollo 11 anniversary, which we covered some last week, quote, there could have been no man on the moon, Russian or American, without Nazi know-how. An interesting piece from Jay Widener, frequent guest on Red Ice Radio, how Stanley Kubrick faked the Apollo moon landings, or how I learned to stop worrying and love the lies. Finally, more importantly, I believe, Vietnam veterans still pressing the Veterans Administration on Agent Orange. Few media meme notes. Matchbox Cars and their new Young Warriors creepy ad campaign. You gotta see kids flying jets and driving tanks and saying that war is only my day job. Aphrodite Jones's The Michael Jackson Conspiracy Book is a whitewash. This according to Alex Constantine. Will John Travolta renounce Scientology? That's the question coming from Gawker. And Dan Rather slams the corporate media for what that's worth. Murder and mayhem. 8 killed when van driving the wrong way sets off 3-way crash in New York. Iranian plane crashes on runway. 17 dead. Texas mother says the devil made her stab and decapitate her baby. FAA is probing the pilot who strayed into the JFK airport path. And finally, perhaps more on this as we get into it, CIA code expert found dead on Palm Springs Trail. The police state international scene is an ugly one again. I don't think I have to tell you that again with all we've already gone over in just this episode. Bush mulled sending troops into Buffalo in wake of the Lackawanna 6, I believe. That's by way of the Associated Press. Again, more on Homeland Security and terror prevention with NLEO 9. Cuba and the U.S. hold joint army drills. Again, more on the North Carolina terrorist ring broken up. New York City to have CCTV and subway everywhere by the end of the year. The Obama STEM plan is buying $8 million worth of airport spy cameras for a bunch of different cities' airports. UK's unveiled their new national ID card. UK snitches will also maybe get 500 pounds to snoop and spy and snitch on their neighbors. Speaking of, the U.S. military had a spy in the Washington State anti-war groups and even ran their email list. Informants, provocateurs, infiltrators. More on that from InfoWars, as well as video reports, Cryptagon and on. Pentagon caught subverting protest group. A great video from Janet Napolitano reporting to her higher-ups at the Council on Foreign Relations, talking about the coming Stasi Snoop network coming soon to a broken-down neighborhood near you. And a few notes on the war whores. The military-industrial complex. Microwave weapon will rain pain from the skies. That's from NewScientist.com, but Danger Room says that, you know, the pain ray's new target is just killer geese, you know, that interfere with aircraft. Casualties of War Part 1, The Hell of War Comes Home. CIA's Phoenix program flies again. This is from DODBuzz.com, and I can't give it the justice right now, but this is important. Operation Phoenix from the CIA. The RAND Corporation is now saying that we should bring back Afghan assassinations. Robert Gates knows more than a little something about that. A new book called By His Own Rules, Ambition, Successes, and Ultimate Failures of Donald Rumsfeld by Bradley Graham. Now, he reports for the Washington Post. I have not been able to confirm that he is probably related to the Bilderberg Grahams that run the Washington Post. U.S. Command considering private security on Afghan front lines. That's from the Washington Post. Does that sound like change you can believe in? U.S. military to stop releasing militant death tolls in Afghanistan. That's from the Los Angeles Times. More on the Washington Post and now their aversion to the word torture. And finally, the U.S. military to set up in Colombia. A quick note, we mentioned it, gosh, it was only last month, where Barry Diller said that the internet will absolutely be a paid system within 5 years. More from Barry Diller, this by way of Bloomberg. Now he says that free internet content is a myth. It's not free, and it's not gonna be. Of course, he's the chairman of Expedia, Ticketmaster, connected to Liberty Media, Walt Disney, and on and on. Of course, Disney, like a lot of others, are developing a subscription-based product for the internet, taking the U out of the tube. Thank God, my friends, we made it to the end, and the payoff punchline and the thank you for making it through 2 hours, sometimes more, of just brutal news. It's nice to end with a little bit of satire. The Yes Men make corporations say, oh no.
We're calling our new technology Vivolium.
As Andy began to describe Exxon's new biofuel, the candles were lit. A strange odor rose into the air.
Well, if it's the police asking, you tell them that you're a comedian, and then they have a contact to put it in that makes sense, because otherwise, why the hell would you be doing what you're doing? But if it's, you know, if it's somebody else, if it's just somebody, your friend, asking what you do, then you try to explain that you, you know, impersonate corporations in order to make fun of them so that, you know, you can catch them with their pants down.
Finally, it was time to introduce Reggie Watts, dying Exxon janitor who had volunteered to be turned into fuel.
We do get recognized occasionally, but people who recognize us usually just sit through the lecture and enjoy it.
I think I'd like to be a candle. There's just so many uses for a candle.
We've gotten quite a few cease and desist letters, but we found that if you just ignore them or post them on your website and publicize it, they miraculously go away.
We want something that's going to be able to save a human being no matter what Mother Nature throws at him. And so this is the answer. This is the Halliburton Survival Ball.
We do know that the only way things have changed historically is when people take to the streets and force them to change. Governments don't do things on their own, no matter how nice the person in charge is.
And we have an artist's rendition of what it might be like in Houston when we launch our survival balls. In the event of extreme catastrophe, there might be a scarcity of resources. In this case, we've got a survival ball here that's going up and extracting resources, in this case, from an animal.
The Yes Men. Mike Bonanno and Andy Bicklebaum, a.k.a. the Yes Men, play pranks on big business to highlight the human toll of unchecked capitalism. A new film about their recent stunts debuted last Monday on the home box office network, cable, HBO. The Yes Men fix the world. And that's going to do it, my friends. And fortunately, we have a few minutes here at the end of the show, because we've got a long and interesting list of creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. If you're new to this, a long time ago, I installed a hit counter on the website. You know, it shows how many visits you've had. When you have that, it gives you a back end and you can see who's visiting. When you traffic in the kind of information that Media Monarchy does, you're going to attract some interesting visits. And again, the longer the site goes on, the more information that's there, the more I grab a wide swath of people looking for interesting things, to say the very least. This might sound a little bit repetitive, but again, these are separate hits and separate entries, so that shows you just how many times sometimes these guys are visiting. And again, I post all these up in the show notes, IP addresses and all of it, right there for you. So just like the Yes Men said, you know, we usually find that if you just post it on the website and make fun of it, kind of works out. Monkey wrenching the New World Order, as Jello Biafra would put it, or at least he used to put it. Here we go. Visits from, of course, the headquarters of USAISC, That's the information services engaging the internet. Fight the net. The National Magazine Company Limited out of the UK. Again, USAISE, this time out of Arlington. Northrop Grumman out of Hawthorne, California. The CBS Corporation out of New York City. The Virginia Information Technologies Agency out of Richmond, Virginia. They're reading about Beverly Eckert. Of course, 9/11 widow, an activist, always wanted a new investigation, never took the shut-up money, met with Obama, died on the crash of Flight 3407 1 week later. The Social Security Administration out of Halethorpe, Virginia, they Googled Walter Cronkite and the Bilderbergers. Navy Network Information Center out of Jacksonville, nmci.navy.mil, Pensacola, Florida. We had the National Institutes of Health out of Rockville, Maryland. We had the National Institutes of Standards and Technology, NIST, out of Boulder, Colorado. So hopefully I can say hello to those guys through boulderfreeradio.com, 93.9 KBFR. United Technologies Research Center out of Manchester, Connecticut, Googled RFID and policing. The DOD Network Information Center out of Columbus, that's ar.army.mil. They Googled Ardent Century 2009. Raytheon out of Lexington, Massachusetts, they Googled FEMA contractors. The Military Hospital in King Abdulaziz Air Base in Bahrain, out of Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, visited Media Monarchy. Again, the Navy Network Information Center. Again, the Department of Homeland Security. Again, the Navy Network Information Center. Over and over again. It's interesting, again, it's also time-stamped, so you can see that actually they're sending information. However, the networks are all tied together. You'll see the same hit from virtually the same place to the same page on Media Monarchy, but 1 second it's coming from Pensacola, Florida. The next moment it's coming from San Diego. So they're coordinated. Big surprise. Columbia Healthcare out of Nashville, Tennessee. Administering flu shots, New Orleans. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration of Silver Spring, Maryland. Going back to August of 08, last year, right now, of course, when the anthrax fall guy, Bruce Ivins, was reminding Frederick, Maryland locals of course, Frank Olson and his CIA suicide of 50 years ago. AAFES Barracks out of Herndon, Virginia, Googled Ardent Century. Starbucks out of New York City, hit me up from a link on groundzeromedia.org. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints out of Salt Lake City. Again, headquarters, samhouston.army.mil, by way of Oklahoma City. They were going back to March 08. GCHQ confirms violent riots staged by the Chinese. This, of course, going back to the build-up to the big Olympics last year. We, of course, again, whether it's, you know, in Seattle or whether it's in Beijing, the feds like to stage events and put provocateurs to go into situations and cause violence, which lets the feds crack down on peaceful, nonviolent people. That's how it works. Again, another example of false flag attack. We had the Army Medical Institution, amedd.army.mil. We had the U.S. House of Representatives out of Manassas, Virginia, Google FEMA, foreign troops. We had Foreign Affairs, the publication of the Council on Foreign Relations out of Ottawa, Canada. They were hitting up the story from June of this year about New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin being quarantined in Shanghai, being literally Shanghaied in Shanghai over swine flu fears. The last creepy customer coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week, the National Institute of Public Health out of Prague in the Czech Republic, and they were going back to September 08 when Barry Jennings, key witness to World Trade Center Building 7 explosion, mysteriously died at the age of 53. No obituaries, no notices, no nothing. And there you have another mind-blowing episode of MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show. It's the last day of July and the first day of the rest of your life. It's 2009. It's hot in the Pacific Northwest. And I thank the Portland Radio Authority, as well as Zero Point Radio, Revere Radio, Free Radio Olympia, Boulder Free Radio, Ground Zero Radio in Canton, Georgia, and Cascadia Public Radio from right here in the People's Republic of Oregon. Again, I'll implore you to help spread my recent interview with former Marine Corps Major William Fox on these current military terror drills, national level exercise, and vibrant response. So keep watching, keep getting in contact, keep spreading the word, and we'll keep making positive actions. And again, only by working together can we get through this. And can we even try and determine what, again, William Fox said, determine our own destiny on a grassroots level. What I'm going to say to you is get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Police would get him just the same.